Late Debate with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.
A bag full of major transport and infrastructural projects announced, but how many will actually be delivered by 2030 by this government? The EU Parliament votes on social media restrictions for teens, and spending like no tomorrow or just investing in our future, is criticism of government spending actually fair? Also, an update on the shooting of two National Guard members shot near the White House. You're very welcome to the Late Debate. We'll be here until 11 p.m. 51551 is the number for your text. You can WhatsApp the programme 0870 32 32 32. Joining me this evening is Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent Ireland TD for Roscommon and Galway. He's in our Dáil studio. I'm also joined by Fianna Fáil Senator Dee Ryan, Nessa Cosgrove, Labour Senator and their spokesperson on rural and community development, Gaeltacht and workers' rights, and also by Paul Hosford, who's political editor with the Irish Examiner. 51551, as I say, for your text. Let's jump straight in. And this afternoon we learned that the Department of Transport has published the list of transport projects that are on the priority list for this government under the revised National Development Plan. And you might run through the list very quickly, because it's about 24 billion euro that's earmarked for this, Paul. Give us a list of what we can expect and hope for over the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, Cormac, you might remember back in July the National Development Plan was announced, but unfortunately for people like me who like pictures and CGI images of things that will never be delivered, there was nothing specific. What we were told at the time was each individual department would go away and kind of fight its corner and prioritise projects, and would come back with what they call sectoral investment plans. So they're kind of starting to drip out now, and the big one for something like this for people was always going to be transport. What we got today was a breakdown of the 24.3 billion euro sectoral investment plan in public and active travel. That's about 10.1 billion of it. You're talking things like the DART Plus, the Metro, the Western Rail Corridor, improvements in bus connects, a new Spencer Dock train station, DART Plus depot, the Navan rail line will be brought to planning. Construction will begin on the Finglas Lewis. A railway order for Cork, for the Cork Lewises, is provided for. And then on roads, you're talking about the likes of the M28 Cork to Ringaskiddy Road, the Limerick to Foynes Road, which includes the Adair Bypass, which is obviously a big part of the Ryder Cup hosting in 2027. You've got the N5, the N24 Kerry to Limerick Bypass. That's part of the road from Waterford to Limerick.
Look, the way you're running through the list of projects, and Dee is actually nodding her head, ticking off that, yeah, that'll be done by 2030. Yeah, that one's in the bag, 2030. Dee, we don't have a hope in hell in getting any of these really done, do we?
Well, I disagree with you fully, Cormac, and I think what was important about today was that the Minister announced not only the specific projects, the big ticket projects, and it's not an exhaustive list, by the way, there'll be more coming from his department in the coming weeks for local and regional roads, but he announced the big projects that we have not just committed to, but we've put the money and the funding behind now. There's a mixture of projects there. Some of them are already in granted planning permission. Some are held up in on commission planola, and others have yet to apply for planning. They're at different stages. But when we combine this investment commitment today with the reforms to our processing procedures, which we will be hearing from Minister Chambers next week, I think that we've really got...
But those reforms to the process to get all these things through planning, through all the consents, that'll take even a year or two in its own right.
Come back to me in a couple of weeks' time, Cormac, and we'll have that discussion, because Minister Chambers
looking at your record, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government since 2011, Fine Gael, and in some guys, Fianna Fáil with them for the last decade or so. And we have had in 2018, I'll give you one example, and this is an example that is holding up so much housing development in this country right now. The Greater Dublin Drainage Scheme is in the pipeline, as far as I know, since 2018. Where is it now, Dee? It's still in the pipeline.
And we have many examples across all of our constituencies. I know in Limerick we had examples of where the Adair Bypass got held up with on the Bord Planola, and Opera site, a key infrastructural development site in the city centre, got held up. So the Minister Chambers has rightly identified that our process is what needs significant reform, and that accelerating infrastructure report that's coming next week will outline the concrete steps that we're going to action over the next 12 months that will allow us to deliver on these key commitments for the public.
Yeah, but the government is talking about process and the places that things get held up. I think yesterday that this news of the judicial review against the Metrolink was manna from heaven for the government, because this thing was always going to be delayed. And they get to point at 20 residents in Dartmouth Square and say, it's them. If you look at this plan today, Dart South West Plus, it's the line from Euston to Selbridge. I live on it. I live in Adamstown. There's two SDZs there. There's Adamstown and there's Clonburris. There's thousands of homes being built on the presumption that Dart Plus South West was going to be operational by 2029. Look at the plan today. It's not going to go to procurement until 2029, and construction won't start till 2030 plus. The government, this is a plan that has no judicial review. It has a railway order. It has planning permission. It is ready to go, and the government has decided not to prioritise it. It's €1 billion. It could be done.
But Dee is going to point to the process again, I'm sure.
I absolutely
There's
am.
No because process
we're,
issue
we're, and Paul, I'd say I time and again throughout this programme, you'll point to the process, isn't that it?
What I'm hearing what Paul is saying, and this is not new, these are not new allegations that we've heard, and in fact, that committee that was put together to look at how do we unlock infrastructural projects has absolutely identified and has evidently based the problems that we're facing. And I can tell you, we are taking this very seriously.
But this is a project that went to public consultation 3 years ago. It's passed it. It has the railway order. It has planning permission. There's thousands of homes on the line. The line at present can handle 5,000 passengers a day. Trains in the morning, there's a 20 past 7 train, there's a 7:40 train. You get on it, you're using a three carriage intercity train.
Paul,
that's dangerously full.
At least you could say they're listening to people. Like the Western Rail Corridor, for example, Nessa, it's been a campaign on the running for a long, long time. 51551, it's in the programme today.
Part of it is in the programme today, Cormac. You know, and I mean, that's welcome. It is welcome that, and you know, and that. But it's as far as it goes as far as Athenry to Clare Morris, which is welcome. But once again, the whole area of the northwest is left out. And I live in Sligo. Like, why can they not extend it from Clare Morris to Sligo? And then you've got a full connecting route. You're taking in the other ATUs. They're able to connect to ATUs. You're taking in Knock Airport. But like, if you look at the development plan today, and it is just a rehash and rebadging of old projects. There's loads of like fine words like integrated public transport networks and intelligent transport systems. But, you know, they're all based around the East Coast. They're all based in the major cities. And there's nothing in the Northwest.
Maybe if the West had better public representatives.
Possibly. Maybe the Northwest had better public representatives.
But you know that. Maybe the likes of you in opposition weren't making the case strong enough.
But, well, personally, Labour, we haven't had anyone elected representative up here in years, up in the Northwest in years. So, you know, at national level, we haven't had anyone up here. But, and I hope that I will be in the future. We're representing the area to continue to be. But maybe that we are indicative of the kind of the attitude that's treated towards us.
Shrinking that, violets like Michael Fitzmaurice, who is trying to make a case for the Western Rail Corridor and failing abysmally for years, Michael.
Yeah, well, first of all, I welcome the announcement on the Western Rail Corridor, Galway Outer Bypass, the Rooski Mullingar Road. We would have put a lot of these in our document. This isn't just my backdoor stuff. But the problem is, Cormac, and let's call a spade here. Them 20, not near me, but a very important road between Limerick and Cork. It's progressing slowly. It was put on in 2021 to 2030 plan. If a government, and let's call this very, very clear, as has been outlined by some of your speakers earlier, if a government doesn't bring in legislation for emergency infrastructure legislation, for be it water, for be it sewer, for be it roads, for be it housing, for be it rail, we are going to be in the courts up and down, as you've highlighted, by the Dublin drainage. And unless we do that, we can talk till the cows come home.
Talk to Dee. Talk to Dee, as Dee says, come back to her next week.
Well, Cormac, I'd also just like to point out to you, I've 4 pages here in front of me of national projects that have been delivered on time and on budget, and those projects don't get mentioned half as much as the ones that are famously caught up in the system. And this government is committed to addressing those blockages in the system and ensuring that our ambition, which we have now committed the finances to, is met with the ability to deliver.
Metrolink, hugely delayed. Bus connects, hugely delayed. The National Children's Hospital,
Lewis
hugely
Cross City delivered on time and on budget. Maher Hospital on time and on budget.
We're not going to give you a clap for spending our money for delivering projects
we'll just bring
on time.
Balance to the debate, Cormac. It's not all failure in this country. There's a significant amount of infrastructural investment happening right around the country in all areas that is delivered on time and on budget.
Can I come in there? The road from Dublin to Galway was a godsend, and it was done quickly and in budget years ago. At the moment, and this is one thing we need to watch, I welcome the money, I welcome the funding that's going to be put in. But the first thing we need to do is put that legislation in place. If we want to achieve the goals we're talking about, our 2030 will come and go, unfortunately, with no disrespect to anybody. Second of all, if when we are designing jobs and when we are putting them out to tender, we need to get value for money. And if we have an oversight body watching this, the money will disappear. And while 24 billion is a lot of money and 22 billion is a lot of money in the public service, if you look at the Western Rail Corridor, they're valuing it at the moment, I think, something like 700, 800 million. That's nearly a billion. You cannot let jobs run over. And if we don't go down the road of putting the onuses on some of these contractors of design and build and put the pressure back on them of send in your best application for this job. If we don't do that, if we're expecting the same people in the same offices that, and through no fault of a lot of people, I've been talking to council in Galway, I've been talking to councils all over the country, to get engineers at the moment is nearly impossible. And if you don't get, if you haven't the resources to basically do the paperwork and get through this, then we won't deliver, and I hope that that's what the emphasis will be put on to deliver.
There's an
this.
Oversight, Michael, Nessa. As well. Yeah, I mean, DEEPER have to come in here as well, the Department of Public Expenditure. Like, I agree with you, Michael, about engineers and about if you're giving the contract out to, you know, to a construction company or construction firm, they're going to have to put in the direct, you know, the proper quotations, the proper management, the proper timelines. Like, but who's the oversight here? Like, surely this goes back to the Department of Public Expenditure. Like, there has to be, like, and we can see this, we'll say, in the Children's Hospital, like, who's taking responsibility?
Hold on. Be clear on this. The first thing that happens is DEEPER gives it to the Department of Transport. A council will look after, either Westmeath County Council or Mullingar will look after the whole assessment has been done, and they will have people along with TII that will look after the job. Like, the N5 has been done at the moment, and that's gone ahead of, in fairness, Wills's have actually gone ahead of schedule on that job. But if we don't make sure that we put out the proper contracts, but I don't think for all the projects that's here that we have the resources or manpower, that we need to look at a system of design and build and assess the best application.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head, according to one listener to text 51551. He says, why cannot we get we cannot get builders for houses, says this listener. So where will they get builders for roads? And it's a fair point, Dee, isn't it?
Yeah, we absolutely have. There's a skills shortage right across many very important sectors in the country. I know that I'm speaking to the minister about increasing the number of critical skills visas that we give to the construction sector. I think that's really important for us, given the amount of investment that we're committing to it. We've done this in the past, Cormac. We have brought in workers from overseas in the past to deliver major infrastructural projects, and we are likely to be looking at doing a significant number.
We learned
number.
Last week that we'll need 8,000 workers to build Metrolink. Mm-hmm. Where will they live?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, the Metrolink team have already engaged with the Land Development Agency around identifying sites for where those workers can be housed, and that those homes would go back to the state after the project
so
is completed.
Would they jump ahead then, because they're building key infrastructure of people who are on housing lists?
And they're talking to the Land Development Agency about houses and homes that are outside of what's already envisaged for the Land Development Agency.
Yeah, so that would be extra housing. Would those key infrastructure workers jump ahead of housing list workers?
Those are homes in addition to the homes the Land Development Agency has already been tasked with building. And it's critical that we house those workers in order to deliver the infrastructure.
I don't care if they're in addition, because we don't have enough. We're not building enough homes. So anything in addition surely should be going to somebody who's homeless.
but we have to get these projects completed, Cormac, and I don't agree with you. I think it's possible to do both in tandem, and that's
patently
what
not.
That's the charge.
Patently not. So there's
a
question of priority
and that's what the government
so
is
the question
concentrated
of priority,
on doing.
Do you prioritise key infrastructural projects? And I don't know what the answer here is. Key infrastructural
Can
projects
come in there?
Or people on the housing waiting list or who are homeless for many years?
I don't think it's fair to pit those against each other,
but
and that's not
reality.
I think the reality is that
can
they
I
will be pitted against each other, and there just is a reality there, and the government will have to make a decision, and I think it's perfectly reasonable for a government to say we are prioritising key infrastructure so that it enables the building of homes along that corridor, and to
and
do
that
we will
answer?
Have to It might very well be, but I would think most people would want the government to just make a decision. I go not back, the first Metrolink launch that I was ever at was in 2016. And on the day, a public representative, within minutes of the route being selected, sent out a press release saying, this is great, brilliant for my area. And within 2 hours had said, yeah, but it mustn't go under a GAA pitch. And in there, you're seeing the problems that we have where you're trying to balance competing interests. And that's just a reality.
Happens all the time. This is part of government.
But we have to pick something eventually.
Michael wants to get in, but Nessa first.
Yeah, but I mean, we could see... Sorry, Michael, but we could see... we'd say, like last year, the budget, that there was 20 billion... No, 2 billion spent on 4,000 homes. Like, that is a chronic... Like, we can build houses. The state can build houses cheaper from that. You know, that like it shouldn't be pitting one against the other, but it's the way... It's how money is being spent.
If there's a competition for resources and there's 16,000 homeless and there's a deficit of housing building and there's a deficit of critical infrastructure and we need 8,000 workers and we need thousands of workers on top of that, eventually there will be a pinch point. And at some point, the government, whoever is in government, whoever is elected to that, will have to make a decision, as unpopular as it is.
And that's true to having a pop, but why waste money at the moment? There's a serious waste of money, and we can see this through procurement, we can see it through building up, handing housing building over to private developers. Like, there is a waste of money, and like, we seem to have a huge problem in this country with building capital projects because the oversight isn't there.
Well, it's been rectified by looking at the process,
says
Dink. But
there.
Michael, go on, yeah.
Yeah, look, I think what we need to understand is different horses for different courses. The facts are that if you're building a road, then people 99 times out of 100 don't be near houses. They're a different breed of a person. That it's basically a lot of excavators, a lot of people working like that. I know there's some drainage, but for building the roads, I think we have three or four companies that's well capable of building the roads. In relation to the metro, there is no reason why, and in my opinion, from what I'd be looking at, if we were doing a metro, it would be probably a Japanese company that would come in that would be the experts at it. And if that was happening, what you would be doing is making sure there was a huge field somewhere that would cater for their people as part of the project, that they would put in the likes of modulars, like we do. If you look, let's look at it. Irish people go to Australia. Mm. They work in the mines. They're fed in the mines. They live in the mines and they sleep in the mines because there's proper accommodation laid on. And this is how
let
you go.
Let me blow that
this
out of the water right
yeah,
now.
Well,
Let me blow it out of the water right now. If any texter is living beside a big field and wants thousands of temporary modular homes beside them for a few years, text us in now to 51551.
So here we go.
You're
again.
Laughing because it's true, Mike.
No, but here we go again. We're going to object when we're doing one of the biggest projects. It's a 3 or 4 year project and we have to accommodate people to do it. Let's cop on.
Do you have a field near you, Michael, who could house them?
Well, I wish I had.
But in all seriousness, Cormac, Michael is spot on. We do have to think of innovative ways of doing this, and we have to. And the task of the job of government is to deliver on these critical infrastructure road projects and transport projects, as well as the housing.
I know.
And
we know what the job is, but you can't do it.
And it will involve bringing back in, bringing in workers from overseas. But it'll also, today's announcement from Minister O'Brien with the funding towards it will also be a big signal to Irish firms who are currently working on civils projects in the UK and in mainland Europe that yes, there is a pipeline of projects in Ireland for you. Bring your resources home.
So when will Metrolink, for example, when will that start?
Well, it's gone to judicial review at this point, Cormac, so I can't give you an answer on that.
Yeah, so it'll be delayed it was Cormac, due to start in 27, isn't that? Am I right?
You're right, so what you're saying.
Michael, go on.
But the bottom line on it is, if we don't do what I'm after saying at the beginning of this programme, emergency infrastructure legislation, you'll be talking about it, Cormac, when you're grey in the hair.
I'm grey in the hair already. I think this is partly the reason. And do you know what? What you're proposing, though, alarm bells are ringing in my legal mind right now, because you're trying to obliterate with this emergency legislation, this fast tracking, any environmental concerns people might have, any pollution concerns, if it adheres to the carbon budget, all of those concerns out the window. That's what you want.
Cormac, we have to wait for the minister to bring his proposals forward next week, but we have to move from being a vetoocracy to being a democracy.
Correct.
We have to be bringing forward big projects for the people, and that's what the minister and this accelerating infrastructure project team are focused on doing.
How do you do that, though?
The minister will be bringing forward next
Michael,
week.
Go on.
Yeah, first of all, either we need these projects or we don't. Do we need something to the airport, do we not? You do things in the proper fashion. They've been done before. It's not new technology that we have to use. When you're doing roads, there's a way of doing them. That's set down for years. But we cannot have, if we want to do these and provide, be it houses, be it roads, be it sewers, whatever we're going to do, be it the rail, if we want to do this, we have got to make sure that we're not getting involved in these petty types of objections.
But we need workers, Michael. We need workers that are paid properly, too. Nessa. You know, we need workers that are properly paid.
Well, in fairness now, CIF workers have a raise.
Hang on.
But Michael, we need workers where they can live. We need to pay apprentices properly. You know, like where the huge demand for houses.
I'm not saying we don't.
I know, but it's fine. I'm agreeing with a lot of what you say, but for example, over in my neck of the woods, Michael, which I know isn't too far from you.
Yeah.
Like there's the Western Rail Corridor, the line is there, it's in public ownership. Like that could be extended up to Sligo. Like that's a project.
100%.
It's in public ownership, the land is there, that's a no-brainer of a project. But we have been left to spend this billions going to be on Metro North when we've been left again neglected in our area, in our side of the country.
Well, 800 million, the Western Rail Corridor is approximately, I think, and I agree with you 100%, Nessa, I would put the rest with it. It'd probably cost another billion to bring it, and you'd actually be able to join up Knock Airport as well.
If there is anyone listening with a huge field and they want temporary houses there for a few years, let us know now. 51551. Some text before you go to the break. John in Tremor says, why not introduce an Emergency Powers Act for major infrastructure, says John.
That's what I
Mary
said.
Francis says, parts of the West can't think beyond cars and concrete. Interest in opening up land for building, not development, she says. And one more bus connects is an absolute disgrace. People having to get multiple buses to get to work and kids to school. I haven't met anyone who has had their day improved by stupid routes no one wants. An area has been completely stripped of service. I'm sick of disappearing buses and hauling bags from bus stops 15 minutes from my house. I'm driving a family to work and will probably go back to driving instead of bus hopping around, says one. I would say disappointed, to say the least, listener. 51551 is a number for your text. I'm going to take a very quick break, but America this evening has been shocked by the shooting of two National Guard members who are critical after the shooting in Washington. There's a huge emergency operation being put in place, and we're going to get an update in about 1 minute's time.